tonight, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll read a couple verses of there to introduce our theme or our focus tonight on the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm excited because over the course of the next few times that we get to observe the Lord's table, we'll be talking about the precious blood and how it opens up the way to God, which we'll be looking at tonight. And then the next couple times, we'll be looking how it will help to overpower the guilt in our consciences. It will do that, overpower the guilt of sin. And then the last time, we'll look at how it overcomes the accuser. And so tonight, we'll be focusing in on the first part here, how it opens up the way of God. As you're turning there, let me ask you this. Do you know the hymns that say this? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the love of Jesus, right? Or how about this one? There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power, where? In the precious blood of the Lamb. Where did we get that idea? Where did those songwriters and those who wrote the poetry about the blood come up with the idea that it's precious? Well, let's look here in the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 17, here it says, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Father, I pray tonight that you help us to appreciate in a very fresh way tonight the blood of Jesus and how powerful it is, how precious it is, because you've told us how valuable it is in the scriptures, and we believe that by faith. Father, I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, or maybe one who's watching on the internet, that you convict them of their need to believe on Jesus and be saved. Convince them of that through your Holy Spirit and draw them unto you. Lord, for those of us who do know you and are here to, again, remember your sacrifice for us and in great appreciation of what you've done for us, I pray that you would bless our time as we explore this subject of the precious blood that was shed for us on Calvary. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is it that makes the blood of Christ so precious? Who assigned the incalculable value to it that it has? How is it worth so much that it could purchase our redemption and set us free, as that song just talked about, from sin's penalty to us, from sin's power over us, and one day even sin's presence in us? How is the blood that precious that it could do all of that and accomplish all of those things? When we look at a few scriptures together, Romans chapter 5 tells us God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the next verse goes on and says, much more than being now justified, that is declared righteous by God in his sight, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Sin came into this world as an expression of disobedience against God. He tells us, going on in that chapter, verse 19, for as by one man, talking about Adam there, one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And so when this occurred, when Adam disobeyed against God and expressed his rebellion against him, guilt was sin's escort and began tormenting mankind, the guilt of our sin. You see, sin enters as disobedience to create, first of all, a separation between God and man, whereby man is put away from God. God can no longer have fellowship with him, because there's something now which hinders that fellowship. And so, first of all, it is God who pronounces and says, all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. And then secondly, that sin that's in man, which constitutes a barrier to his fellowship with God, it gives rise in him to a sense of guilt, of estrangement from God in our conscience. Here is man it is man himself who, with the help of an awakened conscience, he pronounces and says, I have sinned. So remember, God first says, all have sinned. Then inside of us, that conscience tells us, I have sinned against God. And we experience that guilt. And this also provides Satan with his ground of accusation before God as he stands there and is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 tells us. And so now Satan points at us and says, you have sinned. So we've got it coming at us from all these directions. God saying, all have sinned. In our conscience saying, I have sinned. And Satan coming against us saying, you have sinned. Well, how do we address this? How can God rescue us from this? From these attacks, or really this guilt and this oppression of sin coming from all those directions. Well, in order to rescue us from sin, the Lord Jesus had to do something that would answer in all three of these directions. God's word, the fact that God says all have sinned, and in our own consciences, and he had to address even Satan's attacks as he accuses us. And so if we're going to be able to progress at all in our Christian growth, we have to get hold of the preciousness of Christ's blood and understand how its value makes it possible for us to come out from under the shadow of all three declarations of our sinfulness. That God says, all have sinned. In our consciences, it says, I have sinned. And Satan's attack and accusation says, you have sinned. And Jesus' blood can do this. Now, first of all, the blood of Christ atoned for our sins and offers us a right standing before God. We can be forgiven of all of our sins, not by God choosing to overlook them or try to brush them under the rug, not by God showing favoritism to some but not to others, saying, oh, well, you can be forgiven, I'll let you go, but not these others. And it's not by God accepting somebody's good deeds and then trying to earn their way, sort of trying to bribe the judge and say, hey, you know, let's overlook that crime over there. I'll do this for you. No, it's not like that at all, because that would make God to be an unrighteous, corrupt judge. The penalty had to be paid. The only way that God can remain righteous while at the same time declaring believers in Jesus to be righteous is that he esteems the blood of his Son to be so valuable that he could pay off the entire sin debt of the world. Now think about that. He can declare us righteous. Let that sink in. Because you know you better than anybody else except God, right? You know what a sinner you are. And when you stop and think about the fact that God could declare me, you know, this is you talking, God could declare me to be righteous? Are you kidding? But he does, and he can, through the blood of Christ. Because as he looks at those who have believed on Christ, he doesn't see them in their sin, but he sees them through the lens of the blood of Jesus that was shed for them, that they've come to trust in, that has cleansed them. You see, it's God's estimation of the preciousness of Christ's blood that makes it capable of providing forgiveness. It's how he sees the blood, not us, that makes it count. How he values the blood. We must simply accept God's valuation of that blood as he defines it in his word, and by faith, we just accept God's facts. What he tells us is true. It's only then, as the Holy Spirit illuminates this truth to us, that we can enter the joy of knowing how precious Christ's blood truly is. Now think about that tonight. Second thing I want you to see is, because of how God values Jesus' blood, certain things are true. First of all, his peace can be offered. His peace can be offered to us. Now, throughout the scriptures, the term atonement is connected with blood sacrifices that were offered unto the Lord. Now, you can see within this English word the idea of at one minute. You see that in there? At one minute. And really, that's the Hebrew idea in the word peace. Something that is brought together. Something that's whole and complete. God is giving us this in order to bring us back together with him at one. And so this would make it possible for even sinners who are alienated from God, who are enemies of God, to be at one with God. In order for us to have access to Him, the obstruction of our sins against Him had to be cleared away and removed. And so how did He say that this could be done? There's only one way in the Bible and in the Scriptures. He says that sin could be removed, and it was through the shedding of blood. Find in Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make, there's that word, an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It's not a person's good works. It's not how much they give to the church or the good deeds that they might be able to do to outweigh their bad. He says it's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Each year on the Day of Atonement, in the Jewish calendar of holy days, the Day of Atonement, the high priest alone would be the only one that was allowed to ever enter the Holy of Holies, the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was housed there in the tabernacle in the temple. And he would go in there with the blood of the sin offering once a year, and he would sprinkle that blood seven times toward the mercy seat. Remember, the mercy seat was that cover on top of the Ark of the Covenant with those angels' wings, where it was said that the very presence of God dwelt in His glory, His Shekinah glory, the cloud, there in the temple. And he would do that in order to bring atonement or signify the atonement of God's people, that their sins for that year were covered by the blood. Now, the high priest was a figure. He was a symbol of the Lord Jesus, who would one day offer His own blood as our great high priest. And it would be accepted by the Father as something so precious that it would satisfy His righteous demands. That sin would be punished, and it would open up the way to eternal life and knowing Him. Young people, do you remember the verse in John chapter 14, verse 6? Do you remember this one? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ready? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said He's the only one that could open up the way to the Father, the way to God. What does He tell us? Because sin brings nothing but death, right? And it disconnects us from God. Well, if that's what sin brings, and it separates us from God, Jesus is the one that restores us to life in God. And He tells us that in John 17, verse 3, where He defines what eternal life is. He says, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Being reconnected with God, having sin covered and taken out of the way, removed by the blood of Christ, so that we can have life rather than death that came by sin. Amazing that God can offer us, His enemies, peace through the blood of Jesus that was shed. It's that valuable. It's that precious. Not only that, His punishment can pass over us. During the first Passover, when God sent the 10th plague upon the Egyptians that the young people learned about today in Awana, why would splattering blood on their doorpost protect them from anything? You got to wonder, if the death angel came to bring that plague upon Egypt, why would put splattering a little bit of blood on the doorpost, what would that protect them from? It's because God placed a value on the blood and said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now let me ask you this. Who was the one that needed to see that blood on the doorpost? The people were inside, right? They were eating that lamb and preparing for their journey. They weren't on the outside looking at the blood on the doorpost. Who needed to see that blood? That's right, the death angel. God needed to see that outside there, didn't He? So that the death angel would pass over. And this is what I was trying to say earlier, that it's God's value of the blood that's important. Sometimes we lose sight of how valuable it is. We've got to go back to the Scriptures and say, and sometimes we start to doubt, Lord, could I really be forgiven of this? This is such a horrible thing in my life. Could You really forgive me of this? And we're almost placing the burden of valuing the blood on ourselves. But God's the one that says, it's the blood that cleanses sin. And if I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's His holiness, His righteousness that demands that a sinless life would be given for man. God is the one who required it to be so, and so the blood of Christ wholly satisfies God. Now, for many of us, before we were saved, our conscience did not trouble us a whole lot until the Word of God began to stir it. And then after we trusted in Christ to be our Savior, all of a sudden our awakened conscience became ultra sensitive to everything going on around us, and this created some difficulties. I know this happened in my own life, where the things that I did before I was saved, it didn't bother me. All of a sudden, they really troubled me. It caused a lot of doubts in my life. Could I really be saved and be doing this? And there was a lot of trouble in my conscience because I was trying to be the one to put value on the blood and not seeing what God said about how precious it is to Him. The sense of sin and guilt can become so great and so terrible as almost to cripple us by causing us to lose sight of the true effectiveness of the blood. It seems to us that our sins are so real, and some particular sin may trouble us so many times that we come to the point where, to us, our sins loom larger than the blood of Christ. We then have to accept God's value of it. Not our feelings, but faith in God's word. And the blood is so precious to God because He says it is so. He says, I didn't redeem you with corruptible things like gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as a lamb without blemish. A holy and righteous God has the right to say that the blood is acceptable in His eyes and has fully satisfied Him. And so our salvation lies in looking away to the Lord Jesus and in seeing that the blood of the Lamb has met the whole situation created by our sins and has answered it in every direction. We're going to see in future weeks how the blood answers our own, even the guilt in our own conscience, and how the blood answers the accusations of the accuser of the brethren. We're going to see how it does all of those things for us. But tonight, I hope you've seen how the blood, it brings justification, and God can declare us righteous in His sight. That is the sure foundation on which we stand. Yes, we are sinful. We can admit that tonight. Can you be honest? We are sinful. But praise God, the blood cleanses us from every sin. Oh, what a freedom, what a release it would be if we saw more of the value of, in God's eyes, of the precious blood of His dear Son.